A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. The reign of Pope Boniface VIII, part 1, Boniface collides with Philip. Remember, he was also referred to as the devil pope in comparison to the angel pope the last time. Now, Boniface VIII was the most arrogant of all popes. It is said Boniface, that he admired many, feared all, and love was loved by none. Even in his daily life, he was demeaning to all around him, once denying an office to a man because he thought he was too ugly. Boniface made no attempt to make men like him, for he believed that he was above that. He did not attempt to hide his love affairs and reveled in making snide remarks. So hated was he that centuries after, a certain François de Jean would reinterpret Joachim's relief that the Antichrist would rise in 1260. He argued that Christ was crucified in 34 AD and therefore the Antichrist had risen to power in 1260 years after that. That would be the year 1294, the year that Boniface took office. Boniface, like Gregory VII and Innocent III in his presumptions of power, he was the same. But he was unlike them in that it would be he who would, symbolically speaking, bow before the King of France, even as Henry IV once bowed to Gregory VII. Gregory had humbled an emperor. Philip the Fair would humble a pope. With Boniface came disgrace upon the papacy. It was a disgrace that would never die. As Dante, who lived in his day, said, he turned the Vatican into a sewer. Now, Celestine had ridden into Rome on a donkey. Boniface rode into Rome on a white horse in full dress regalia, escorted by the kings of Naples and Hungary. At the ceremonies, a terrible storm erupted and the wind put out all the candles in the church. This was believed by some to be a terrible omen of what to come. The people of Rome already knew the real Boniface, and when false rumors spread that he died a few days later, sporadic celebrations erupted. When it was learned that he had not died, the papal position was then called the second most hated man in Rome. No sooner was Boniface crowned than he annulled all the privileges that Celestine had granted. He awarded many church offices to relatives, deprived the Colonna family of their offices and titles. He also received news that Celestine V had escaped his palace of retirement. Soldiers were sent out to quickly retrieve the former pope, and a careful guard place was placed over him to ensure he would not leave the Tower of Fumone until he was dead. While Edward Longshanks was attempting to gain autonomous control over the English fiefs of Wales and Scotland, Philip the Fair of France decided he wanted autonomous control over the French fief of Gascony, which happened to be ruled by Edward. The fight, of course, went back centuries. Having been conquered by a French vassal, William the Conqueror, the English kings had claimed William's inheritance both in England and France. At one time, England had ruled more than half of modern-day France, but Philip Augustus reclaimed much of the land, and St. Louis IX arranged a truce which would deliver all of former France to the French king except Gascony, although it's sometimes pronounced Glascony, which would belong to the English king on the sole ground that it remained a French fief and that the English king paid due homage to the French king for this fief. As the treaty declared, Edward Longshanks had fulfilled his obligation when he ascended the throne and paid homage to Philip the Fair. Now Philip wanted Gascony back in his sole possession. War was the obvious result. Edward turned to the Emperor Adolf for help in exchange for £10,000. Adolf agreed to ally himself with Edward against Philip. Having heard of Adolf's alliance with Edward, Philip might have feared the emperor would actually keep his word and invade France. He needed money to pay his troops, build arms, and he needed them fast. In a feudal society, however, private entrepreneurs were few and far between. The commoner had little to tax, and even stiff taxes furnished little to the king in time of war. Much of Philip's career, and particularly his conflict with the papacy, involved dubious ways of raising money. The first of these methods was simply to tax the institution which had much money, the church. The clergy bitterly complained to the pope of this new taxation. Boniface was quick to respond. In February 1296, he issued the papal bull Clericus Laicos, which reaffirmed that taxation of clergy was forbidden without papal consent. The bull, however, was done with the typical Boniface flair. It was held by the king to be presumptuous and arrogant in its assertions. It opened with the statement that the laity has always been hostile to the clergy, and asserted clearly that the state was subject to the pope in everything. Moreover, it declared an automatic excommunication of any king who did levy such taxes. Philip the Fair responded by prohibiting the exports of all goods and outlawing the presence of foreigners in France. This meant that trade with Rome was abolished, cutting away the Pope's finances, and that the clergy, who were mostly foreigners, would be expelled. The measure was not technically an attack on the papacy, and Philip did not openly refuse to obey the Pope's bull, but the actual message was clear. If the Pope doesn't let Philip tax the clergy, then the Pope will lose much of his revenue, and much of the clergy would be expelled from France. Had Boniface been only faced with reduced revenues and bitter conflict with Philip, he might not have backed down. But when the Colonna family of Rome began to stir up dissension, Boniface had little choice but to back down. The Colonnas had suffered at the hands of Boniface, who was rapidly replacing Colonna family members with his own family members and degrading the family publicly. Moreover, the death of Celestine V was considered suspicious by many people. The Colonna family implied that Boniface had Celestine killed by driving a nail through his head, while others suggest that Celestine was starved to death. In either case, Boniface had too many troubles at home to become embroiled in a protracted conflict with France. He was obliged to write a reconciliatory letter to Philip. Philip, however, was but a teenager at the time, and was almost as arrogant as Boniface. It is natural that the two came into conflict, even when Boniface was forced to back down. He tried to appease Philip by stating that the clergy might voluntarily donate money to help Philip's cause, but they could not be taxed. In almost every case, Boniface offended Philip with his attitude and flair for supremacy, even while trying to appease the king. The conflict was eventually resolved when Boniface canonized St. Louis IX, Philip's grandfather, and permitted the taxes, but the fumes were to burn for quite some time. So we get an interesting character now in the papacy who doesn't appear to have any friends. We'll see as we go along if he finds some. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.